Now we have looked at the scripture that it commands us to grow in the knowledge of Christ and to continually exercise ourselves to godliness, and that daily renewal goes of the life of Christ which is in us. What an exciting life the Christian life is. It's not a dull, stagnant life. We are to be constantly growing, moving forward, looking forward, bearing fruit to God, a life of good works. Now I want to turn to some practical ideas that I will expand upon in the messages that are ahead. How do we grow and mature? These are some general ideas. Practical ideas for a leader's growth in Christ. First of all, pray for a desire to grow and mature. Since the time of the fall, man has been hiding from God. Spiritual things are difficult for us. If you were to watch a sports game for 3 to 4 hours, you would do that and you'd be delighted. If you wanted to sit and read a novel for several hours, you would do that. But just try to read the Bible for 10 minutes or 15 minutes and oh, my neck hurts and oh, my eyes. And it's hard. Spiritual things are hard, and try to pray for more than 15 minutes or have a prayer meeting at your church. You'll find out how much people want to pray. Spiritual things are difficult, even though we have the Holy Spirit. So we have to pray that we do not lose our thirst for the Word of God, lose our desire for worship and prayer. It's our natural tendency to lose our curiosity and our interest in doctrine, to become tired of studying and reading, to fall back on what we already know and not press ourselves and pray about moving forward for God. I have a grandson, and his mother says to me that he just loves to ask questions about God and the scriptures. And so I said to him one day, I said, "Dear, never stop questioning. Never lose that hunger and thirst to want to learn, that curiosity. What does God mean by this?" Be a spiritual sponge all your life. It's a wonderful thing. I read this quote recently by Oswald Chambers, that godly man who wrote the book My Utmost for His Highest, a book that is sold in the tens of millions of copies. And Oswald Chambers tells this experience he had in meeting a man who had now lost his zeal for God. Let me read this to you. I'll read it slowly. "A great fear has been at work in my mind, and God has used it to arouse me to prayer. I came across a man whom I knew years ago, a mighty man of God, and now 10 years have gone. I meet him again, garrulous and unenlivened." In other words, he's spiritually stagnant. "How many men seem to become like that after age 40? The fear of sloth and indulgence has come home with a huge fear and fairly driven me to God to keep me from ever forgetting what I owe him." How natural it is to lose our thirst for knowledge and for truth and to expand our minds and our hearts in God. Let us pray daily, and whenever we see the waning of interest of love for God in Christ, let us immediately confess it and pray for fresh energy and interest and love for him. Second, protect your prayer life. Now, we're all very busy people. It's part of the new modern age, hyper-busyness. We're traveling at warp-like speed. The first thing to go in the Christian life is our prayer life. Isn't that true? You know it's to be true. I know it's to be true. I get so busy for God, I have no time to pray. I don't have time for God. I'm busy for God. Well, that's not what the Christian life is to be. At the very dawn of the Christian era, the 12 apostles make this statement in Acts 6:4. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God." Here, right at the beginning of the dawn of Christianity, they lay down the principles for Christian leaders: devote ourselves to prayer and the Word of God. They got this from the Lord Jesus. He was a man of prayer, and none of us are busier than the Lord. He didn't even have time at times to eat. He was just crowded by people. And yet he got off alone to pray. He guarded his prayer life. He was a man of prayer. prayer. Now, this is so important that in the next series, I'm going to give three messages on the elder and his prayer life. I hope you will listen to this. But let me also encourage you, not only in prayer, but in worship and in singing to God. In the congregation, you should lead in this. You should not be reluctant. I see leaders, they don't even sing. And when there's time for prayer, they don't even get up to pray. You should be a leader in worship and in singing and in praising the Lord when the congregation is together. And when there's opportunities to pray, you be up and on your feet to pray. Show your love for worship like King David. He loved to worship. He led the whole nation in worship. That was the first thing he did when he became king. He brought the ark to Jerusalem, led the nation in worship, and he put God at the center of the nation and singing and praise in the law of the Lord. And then protect your Bible reading time. The greatest treasure God has given us outside of his Son is the treasure of his word, the Bible, the very words of God, the truth, the light. It's right there, right for us day and night to come to. May we drink of it. Like that newborn baby, may we come and just crave the pure spiritual milk. We all need as leaders to be Berean Christians. Do you know Acts 17:11? It's a wonderful passage. These were the Christians who, when Paul came and gave the gospel, every single day they searched the scriptures to see if Paul was giving them the truth of the Messiah. And Paul says they're more noble than those in Thessalonica. Let us be Berean leaders searching the scripture daily. Let us be critical of what we hear and search and see if it's true. Don't even listen to these messages until you have checked to see, have I given you the truth of the word of God? Someone has said this, you cannot be too busy driving to stop for gas. You need to fuel your tank with the word of God daily like the Bereans did. Paul says, let the word of Christ, that's the scriptures, that's the truth, the gospel, let the word of Christ dwell deeply and rooted in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. So let the word of God sink into you so that you can be teaching and admonishing others all the time. And then listen to audio messages. This is a wonderful way to grow and mature and to fuel the tank that you need as you give out to people constantly. You know, we can, in our car, and most of us spend a lot more time driving than we realize, or we're on a walk, or maybe we go to the gym and exercise. We have these periods of time that we can be listening to the greatest preachers in the world. You can download most of this material free today. And you can literally get a Bible school education in several years by just listening in your car to audio messages. And I really encourage this. I personally have listened to thousands of hours of messages, the Bible expounded by the greatest Bible teachers. And I have learned much, what to do and what not to do, and receive much material this way. So use those periods of time when you're in the car or you're walking or exercising, and you have that little extra time to listen to the Word of God preached. And then go to good conferences. Years ago, conferencing was very important for smaller churches to hear great preachers, get together with other Christians. So in our church, every year, we send some of our leaders to great conferences. And we tell them, bring back the CDs, bring back material. It's a time to get new resources, hear from God's messengers. Use conferences to educate your eldership and to grow and to be aware of what is going on in the world. And then, and this is a very important point to me, raise your consciousness about the world around you. It is no time to be a sleepy church. If you're a sleepy church and a sleepy leader, your people, and your young people particularly, will be washed away in the secular tsunami that is literally running across this world today. Our Lord, before he left this earth, left the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. He gave us a global commission, disciple all nations, baptize them, and then you are to teach them to obey everything I have taught you. And then the greatest promise, I will be with you always. We are internationalists. We are globalists. We have been given a commission, the final marching orders of our Lord. And so, in other words, as a Christian leader, you have to be a Great Commission leader. You need world vision. We have a big gospel. You should love the gospel. And as it goes out to the world, a healthy church is a missions-minded church. A good Christian leader is a missions-minded leader. I talked to a man in our own church, and the man said to me, "Oh, I never listen to the news. I don't care about the news. It's all bad news. I don't want to listen to it." I said to him, "What kind of Christian are you? Don't you love the gospel? Don't you love our missionaries? Don't you want to know what's going on in the world? Because the events of the world affect the gospel. They affect our missionaries. We are globalists. We have this big commission and vision that Christ set before us. We should be interested in world news and reading magazines about world news." And so be a Great Commission leader. Have vision for the world. Show the people your love for the gospel going out. Also, as a leader, be aware of cultural shifts, theological and philosophical trends. They are affecting the minds of your young people. You may not care about these things, but your young people are involved in it, and it eventually comes into the church. And if you're asleep and you're stagnant spiritually and you will not make an effort to learn new things, I guarantee you your young people will be taken away from you. I can guarantee you that. Your church will be irrelevant to this world and to the gospel. You have to know what's going on in the world around you because you live here and it affects our truth. Go to a blog, get a good Christian magazine, consult with others who know cultural trends. Be aware. I think of Acts 20, verse 31, very important verse for elders, where Paul says to the Ephesian elders, "Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish each one with tears." An elder who's preoccupied with the world or his own personal interests, distracted from the work of God, is not alert and will not be able to protect the church or prepare for our young people. Our churches need to be relevant to the world we live in. They need to be exciting places. We learn and grow. But that can't be true if you as a leader are not growing and aware and conscious of what is around you and going on in the world. And when you teach the word of God, you make it relevant to our world. Next, watch for distractions. Sociologists say we live in the age of distractions. And this is particularly true with the technological distractions and traps, Facebook and email and text messages and video games and movies. People are becoming addicted to these things. They're not addicted to the Bible. They're not addicted to world missions. They're addicted to machines. And they're distracted and preoccupied. Be careful of these things. And then finally, be concerned about your ongoing education as a Christian leader and an eldership group. Now, you want your children to continue to learn, don't you? You send them to school. You spend a lot of money on college. You want them to learn and grow, prepare for life. Well, why should you stop growing? Why are you not interested in your education? An eldership should be growing and be concerned about ongoing development in the things of God. And you should talk about this as a group of elders, how you will educate yourself. Sometimes we have special speakers come in, spend a weekend just with the elders. We give them relevant issues that we're not up on or certain doctrines that we need more sharpening of our focus, and we'll have them come and teach us, or we'll get CDs and we'll pass them around to everyone, or important articles. You need to be educating yourself as a group of leaders. And that's why going to conferences and listening to CDs, passing relevant books around, how important it is to be a reader and read important books today. Very important that you're up on what's going on and that you are reading and you're aware and you're awake to these matters. Because if you're awake and you're alert, the church will be alert and it will be an exciting place to be, not a dull place to be. Exciting worship, growing in the Lord, vision for the world and what God has for you. Be a learning, growing leader.